Hello and welcome to the AI for Health podcast. My name is Sarah Benamara, and every week we explore different ways in which artificial intelligence brings innovations to the future of healthcare. On this episode, I discuss how AI has the potential to redefine the diagnosis and understanding of mental illnesses. I have divided this episode into four segments for easier access. Let's start with children and teenagers. Predicting which children will go on to develop mental health symptoms as a teenager is critical for early intervention and to prevent future and very severe negative outcomes. Personality traits and different symptoms are aspects of children's lives that have been flagged as indicators. However, even with the availability of such data, there is currently no model created to screen the general population for the risk of developing mental health symptoms. So, is it possible to predict mental health problems in teenagers? Well, the advent of machine learning techniques is very exciting. It represents a way to potentially improve the standard prediction models that are already available. To do so, we need data. We need data, predictors, or indicators. There are several well-researched indicators in childhood that are associated with the development of mental health problems. For example, psychopathological traits in early childhood often indicate a higher risk for consistent mental health problems in teenagers and even later on in adulthood. Another example are the internalizing and externalizing symptoms in childhood. They are both frequently associated with higher risk of mental illness diagnosis later in life. More specifically, impulsivity. Impulsivity has been associated with a susceptibility of developing mental illnesses. We also have neurodevelopmental disorders such as autism or ADHD. These indicate lifelong diagnosis and frequent psychiatric comorbidities. Finally, learning difficulties can also indicate future mental health adversity and are frequently seen in children with neurodevelopmental disorders. First of all, there can be a predisposition to mental illness. I mean here a genetic predisposition. Secondly, the environment can play a major role in the eventual expression of mental illness. If I start with genetic predisposition, I have to also start with parental mental health. Parental mental health, such as anxiety or depression, has been found to correlate with childhood internalizing and externalizing symptoms. This is likely due to a shared genetic. This means that parental mental health may serve as an indicator of a more general predisposition for mental illness. Genetic is important. It is important because most childhood psychiatric disorders overlap at both the phenotypic and etiological level. Now, moving on to environmental impact, there are factors associated with the neonatal environment and birth that have been associated with later adverse mental health and neurodevelopmental disorders. And to add to that, chronic physical illness or disability can also have a profound effect on mental health. So, what is the potential of machine learning in all of this? Well, supervised machine learning is a technique used for classification or prediction modeling. It has the advantage of accounting for complex relationships between variables, where these relationships may not have been previously identified. Therefore, as the data sets become larger and the variables become more complex, machine learning techniques are a useful tool. In the field of psychiatry, they would be useful to disentangle variables that are associated with outcomes for patients. To do so, we need to create efficient models. A majority of studies using machine learning within psychiatry have focused on classification or diagnosis. And there have been critiques raised that these studies are prone to underperform due to a lack of insight. This could be a lack of insight on the underlying assumptions of the various machine learning techniques or on psychiatric disorders and their diagnostic processes. These critiques highlight the difficulty in creating and validating such models. That said, advancements have been made in the field using tree-based models to predict suicide in teenagers, for example. These tree-based models provide information on how important a variable was for the model. This feature gives precious insight to the model's classification process. It shows that properly conducted, machine learning techniques can be interpretable and improve the efficacy of clinical decision making. To illustrate what I just said, I'm going to tell you about a study published in 2020. A model was developed to predict mental health problems in mid-adolescence. The participant came from a child and adolescent twin study, and the data was collected twice, first around the age of 10 and then again at age 15. The predictors that were collected at around 10 years old were collected from questionnaires. They included a wide range of predictors based on previous findings of associations with teenager mental health outcomes and childhood mental health. These predictors took into account everything from birth information, physical illness, mental health symptoms, and even environmental factors such as neighborhoods and parental income. The second time around, at age 15, the adolescent mental health data was collected via another questionnaire. This one is called the Strengths and Difficulty Questionnaire, which gives information on emotional symptoms of the teenager, which are rated by the parents. It also gives information on conduct problem, prosocial behavior, on if there is hyperactivity or inattention, and finally on peer relationship problems. And then prediction models were created using several machine learning techniques, such as random forest, logistic regression, neural network, and support vector machines. So the goal here was to determine which produced the best fitting model for a test set. So they all performed in a pretty similar way, and in this particular study, the models got a reasonably high AUC. AUC meaning area under the curve, and it is a value used to evaluate the performance of the model at distinguishing between positive and negative classes. So even though these models are not yet suitable for clinical use, they are indicators that machine learning techniques are worth studying in the context of mental health and outcome prediction. So this section is for all my fellow university students. We all know how hard it is to maintain our academic performance, social life, sometimes work, physical health, and mental health at the same time. I recently came upon a study accounting for 37 countries that revealed that 1 in 3 students leaves higher education without attaining the higher education degree for which they enrolled initially. Students are having trouble adjusting to university education, and this leads them to underperform. Also, it does not help that not only does the first year of college come with a relatively high risk of not succeeding, but it also coincides with a higher risk of mental health-related issues and subsequently low levels of well-being. Mental health and well-being are related, and they contribute to the decrease of students' academic performance. With no surprise, college students with mental health problems are twice as likely to drop out and have a lower GPA. So what factors can help attain higher performance, well-being, and lower symptoms of depression? Well, research suggests that the key resides in having self-concordant goals, meaning goals that align with one's values and passions. But what is observed is that undergraduate students often have difficulty with finding meaning, purpose. So the question here is, what role can AI play in helping students' mental health and academic performance? An article in Frontier Psychology published in 2020 discusses interventions that would help students reflect on their personal goals and improve their academic performance and well-being. These are called life crafting interventions. Life crafting is a technique that helps people to become more specific about their goals, and it is all accessible online. This intervention technique has 3 main weaknesses. First, there is no follow-up questions. So when students write brief answers to the life crafting question, the online questionnaire is not programmed to encourage the students to develop their thoughts. And then students who participated in the life crafting exercises said that the intervention would improve greatly if it included personal guidance after the initial phase. And the current program does not differentiate for individual needs. It works well for students without problems or with minor problems, but others might require more follow-up and interaction, or they might need coaching. so coaches and psychologists could facilitate personalized follow-up and interaction, but it would be time-consuming and very costly, so most higher education institutions do not have the capacity to offer this kind of support. A solution that is more and more popular in the mental health care sector is a mental health chatbot. A chatbot is a computer program designed to simulate human interaction and conversation and is able to create the illusion of an intelligent conversation. In a university setting, chatbots are predominantly used to provide cognitive behavioral therapy. They are focused on offering therapy, and some students might not be comfortable using these services due to a fear of stigma. Another issue is that the majority of students will probably not require cognitive behavioral therapy. However, they would benefit from individualized coaching to help with university transition. A solution would be to combine the life crafting techniques and the mental health chatbot, a life crafting mental health chatbot. The chatbot can stimulate students to develop their answers to the life crafting intervention. It would offer interactive and personalized follow-up, and it would also provide mental health coaching if needed. This type of intervention can be targeted at all first-year students instead of targeting a group of at-risk students to avoid stigma. So what would the conceptual model look like? The more commonly used machine learning techniques allow chatbots to go beyond fixed semantic responses. Again, supervised learning techniques come in handy. They use large datasets to train the chatbot on which answers are appropriate and which are not. The result has the form of a highly complex decision tree. Here, there is no fixed semantic model underlying the communication, meaning that a conversation can be about anything using any phrasing. This leads to highly complex decision trees or even networks of decision trees. There is a price to pay for such complexity. Training an algorithm capable of providing appropriate responses takes a lot of time and a large quantity of training material and processing power. Also, digital mental health interventions tend to fail because they're reportedly not easy to make or to use, and when they are, they're not commonly accepted. In a clinical environment, for example, empathy is a key factor towards better clinical outcomes because it lowers anxiety and distress. The chatbot does not feel natural. It sometimes misunderstands replies, and it's not interactive enough. To try and remedy to that, current chatbot interventions could become more user-friendly by being better tailored to the user, by addressing issues that are most important to the users, by ensuring privacy and offering aid in case of emergencies. And the chatbot would evolve based on the feedback and results received with each intake of students. A mental health chatbot can help throughout the goal-setting process. There are different phases in goal pursuit. There is a pre-decisional phase when deciding which goal we want to pursue, the pre-actional phase when initiating goal-directed actions, the actional phase when successfully performing these actions, and post-actional phase when evaluating the results compared with our original goal. So the follow-up through coaching from a chatbot can help conceptualize goal attainment as goal progress, and this has better results on well-being. Finally, the chatbot can assist in early recognition of academic and mental health problems in two ways. The chatbot will make students more aware of their goals and potential obstacles, and secondly, the chatbot itself can also recognize signals of academic or mental health problems and offer in-app coaching or refer to external help if needed. The COVID-19 pandemic and its immediate aftermath presents a serious threat to the mental health of our healthcare workers. They may develop elevated rate of anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorders. Healthcare workers are at high risk for mental illness, and it is urgent that we be able to monitor their mental health. This could be done with the early prediction and proper treatments of healthcare workers who are exposed to a high level of distress by working directly with ill or quarantined patients. Other factors can also increase mental health risks of a highly distressed individual, for example, if they show low stress resilience or have vulnerability factors such as a tendency to psychological distress and low self-control. Recognizing and identifying such people in early stages of acute stress is extremely important. It can help prevent more serious long-term mental health disorders. However, as we have discussed, mental disorders are difficult to diagnose and even more difficult to predict. During this ongoing pandemic, one of the greatest impacts of digital psychiatry and artificial intelligence is the ability to detect and predict mental health deterioration of healthcare workers at an early stage. AI-based technologies in psychiatry rely on the identification of specific patterns within highly heterogeneous multimodal sets of data. These are big data sets that include various types of data. To just name some, there are psychometric scales, brain imaging data, genomic data, blood biomarkers, data from social media platforms, speech data, facial data, etc. So these AI systems can detect mental health disorders early enough to prevent and reduce the appearance of severe mental illnesses. These predictors of potential mental health disorders among healthcare workers are reliable, and they're crucial for maintaining efficiency and productivity of medical institutions globally. The methodology proposed includes 5 phases. Phase 1 is the objective assessment of the intensity of healthcare workers' stressor exposure. This is based on information retrieved from hospital clinical records. It gives information on their daily schedules during the pandemic, overtime work, and the level of threat they experienced. Phase 2 is the subjective self-report assessment of stress during the pandemic. This is based on a questionnaire that is developed and used for early recognition of distress, mental health disorder screening, and stress resilience, as well as from specific COVID-19 psychological questionnaire. So the self-report complements the objective assessment collected in phase 1. Phase 3 is the design and development of appropriate multimodal stimulation models. This is done to obtain specific neurophysiological reaction. We want to evaluate their reaction to stressful emotional stimuli, for example, acoustic startle stimuli and air blasts, or aversive images and sounds that are related to the COVID-19 clinical environments. Phase 4 is the objective measurements and computation of these neurophysiological predictors. This is done through state-of-the-art sensors. It includes EEGs, ECGs, EMGs, electrodermal activity, respiration, speech reactions, facial reactions, just to name some of them. For example, a microphone and a webcam can be used for collecting speech and gesture data. An eye tracker can be used for the detection of blinks, and they could track pupil dilatation. So combining different multimodal features enhances predictive power, since using a single feature is a pretty weak discriminator. Phase 5 is the statistical and machine learning analysis of the data obtained in the previous phases. Feature selection and classification based on machine learning explores more complex interactions between features. This is done in a highly nonlinear way, and it is associated with the risk of healthcare workers developing chronic mental health problems. Healthcare workers that exhibit high risk of chronic stress-related mental health problems may urgently need prevention and efficient treatments. This is where digital psychiatry is efficient and applicable, especially in the early stages of illness. Regarding the application of machine learning, both unsupervised and supervised learning approaches should be considered. I've mostly talked about supervised machine learning, but unsupervised learning is also used. Unsupervised learning approaches such as principal component analysis, factor analysis, or cluster analysis do not require labeled data. They can help reveal previously undetected patterns in the data. They can also help understand the relationship between stressor severity, self-report assessment, and neuropsychophysiological characterization of the healthcare workers. For example, there is an unsupervised learning technique based on a brain-inspired spiking neural network model that was trained using EEG data, and this model has provided new insight into the brain functioning of depression. It is techniques like these that could help reveal and understand early patterns of mental health deterioration in healthcare workers. What are some examples of AI technologies that have been applied to mental health? In the last 5 years, there has been an upsurge in AI publication related to mental health. Various types of input are used in the AI algorithms. These include electronic health record data, mood rating scales, brain imaging, novel monitoring systems such as smartphones and videos, and even social media. For example, the electronic health record data were used in studies to predict depression. In older people, depression is a common psychiatric disorder and one of the most important causes of mortality and morbidity. In 2018, a novel approach for the detection of depression was developed using clinical data. So this data consisted of a comprehensive assessment for cognitive function, mental health, and cardiometabolic disorders, using, once again, supervised machine learning models. Mood rating scales were used in several studies to predict antidepressant treatment outcome in patients. Antidepressant treatment efficacy is low, but might be improved by matching patients to interventions. At the moment, clinicians have no empirically validated mechanisms to assess whether a patient with depression will respond to a specific antidepressant. And in one study, the goal was to predict whether a patient with depression will achieve a symptomatic remission after a 12-week course of a certain antidepressant. Multiple studies have used brain imaging data to diagnose, classify, and predict different mental health illnesses. For example, functional MRI data, which is a type of magnetic resonance imaging, has been used to distinguish between schizophrenia and healthy individuals. Despite decades of research, there are no precise markers for major psychiatric conditions. It is in part due to the fact that it is a challenge to study complex genetic disorders, and schizophrenia remains one of the most elusive and debilitating psychotic illness. It is in a context like this one where applying machine learning techniques to MRI data has a potential to provide an evidence-based approach for identification and management of this mental illness. Therefore, AI has the transformational power to change a subjective diagnostic system in psychiatry to a more objective medical discipline. Also, AI in psychiatry might act as a digital assistant to psychiatrists. Psychiatry today could definitely benefit from AI's ability to analyze data and recognize patterns and hidden warning signs that a psychotherapist might miss. And so this information, which is very timely, would make diagnosis more accurate and might be life-saving. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the AI for Health podcast on mental health. If you would like to dig deeper, all the references used are in the show notes. If you liked what you just heard, subscribe to the show and let a friend know.